Quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. So you can choose what's right for you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature. Quiets their snores. Sleep Number does that. Sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on Sleep Number limited edition smart beds for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Pardoning service members who are accused of war crimes. Some members of the media are pushing for this to happen. Others are trying to explain why it's a bad idea. Welcome to this week's Reliable Sources podcast. I'm your host, Brian Stelter, and this weekly podcast is our chance to go more in depth with media leaders and newsmakers, talking about how the news is made and how all of us can help make it better. This week, looking ahead toward Memorial Day weekend, I'm joined by Paul Rykoff. He's the founder of Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America, that's IAVA. Now, he's the host of Angry Americans, the podcast, and a host on a Sirius XM, the POTUS channel. Paul, thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Brian. Great to be with you.
One of the most shocking headlines in the past few days has been about Fox News host Pete Hegseth apparently pressing President Trump to issue pardons for members of the military who have been accused of war crimes. What was your reaction when you read this Daily Beast story about Hegseth doing this behind the scenes, by the way, without even disclosing it to the viewers?
I wasn't surprised at all. I mean, Hegseth is an incredibly influential media personality. He's definitely got Trump's ear. He's had dinner with him. I know him from the veterans community. We've actually worked together in the past on some issues. But I think this underscores the power of this influence journalism that's coming out of certain parts of the media, Fox in particular. It's unprecedented. And on the issue in particular, I think that's what should alarm all Americans. I'm actually having a conversation with you about why it's a bad idea to pardon war criminals. It's a crazy idea. It's bad for our national security. It's bad for our troops. It's bad for our global standing. But right now, apparently, it's an idea that the president is considering. So I hope that, you know, just the same way he's getting pressure from the media to consider this, I hope he hears the echoes of just about everybody I've spoken to in the media who's prior service military and everyone in the active duty military and in the veterans community that pardoning war criminals would be a catastrophically bad move.
It's unprecedented. Because, and again, unfortunately, we have to explain this, but go ahead. Give us the explanation.
Yeah. So think about it this way. If the president said, OK, mass murderers, Jeffrey Dahmer or someone like that can just walk free. OK, there's no accountability if you file a crime. That's an extreme example. But we're talking about people who have been convicted of murdering civilians, people who have been convicted of violating the Uniform Code of Military Justice. So if the president comes in and pardons those people, what it basically says is our troops are not bound by any rules. They can do what they want. There will be no repercussions. And if a guy on Fox News can get the president of the year, the year of the president, you might get off, right? Now, some of these cases haven't even been decided yet. Some of them are still being processed that guys haven't gone to full trial yet. So he has to let the Uniform Code of Military Justice run its course. If you really do support the troops and you support the military, you have to trust them to take accountability for their own people. And that's usually what they do. So for the president to come in and blow that up would really undermine the very good order and discipline of the military. It would also put our troops at risk because right now they're in Iraq, they're in Afghanistan, they're in countries all around the world. And if people in those countries think that we can commit war crimes without accountability, they won't trust them. We instantly go from being the good guys to the bad guys. And that puts America's sons and daughters at risk every day. And it's especially insulting to hear he's considering doing it on Memorial Day. That should be a sacred day to honor those we've lost, not honor convicted war criminals. It's upside down world. It's like bizarro land. But unfortunately, I think as you've covered over the last couple of years, it's become kind of our new normal.
Well, and the idea that the president hears this stuff from Fox News personalities, sometimes on the air, other times privately on the phone or in meetings, that's part of what makes this world upside down. Does it bug you, the idea this Fox News feedback loop can actually do damage to the military?
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I if the president's listening right now, which I doubt he is, don't do this. Bad idea. Bad for America. Bad for our troops. And I don't care what Pete Hegseth or any other talking head says. This is bigger than a quick political win that it might afford you with your base. This is about America's sons and daughters. And that's the bigger picture. We need to move toward a more strategic perspective. And I think it also cuts to how the president handles the media. He's got to be more responsible in the way he sets the command climate, his tone, because that does cascade not just across politics, but across our military. How our president is viewed is how our military is viewed. And right now, they're already in harm's way. They're already in tough situations. They don't need the president making it any harder.
When these reports came out about this possible pardon idea, the Pentagon referred questions over to the White House. And we've seen a lot of that in the past couple of years, where the Pentagon tries not to step on the president's toes, you know, upset him in some way. What have you seen, running the IAVA and now, still advocating on a daily basis for the troops? What have you seen about the Pentagon's press strategy and comments in public about the Trump administration?
So I've covered this pretty extensively on my podcast, and it's called Angry Americans, because I believe if you're not angry, you're not paying attention. And a lot of folks are paying attention, and there's a lot to be angry about. And some of it is media coverage. There's plenty of stories the media misses. Sometimes it's overly sensationalized. But sometimes it's the fact that our government is not sharing information with the American people. And that's what's happening at the Pentagon. I've spoken to Barbara Starr on my podcast. I've spoken to other people across the media who've covered this at length. But I think at the end of this month, it will be 1 year since the Pentagon has done a real press briefing. 1 year. And it's not just 1 year on the calendar. It's 1 year where America's sons and daughters are at war, where we're considering going to war with new countries. They're not just not sharing basic information. They're also not sharing important information like casualty figures, like who has died, like where troops are going or not going. They're not talking to Gold Star families. It's not just that they're not talking to liberal CNN or liberal MSNBC. They're not talking to military families who are depending on the Pentagon to give them information about their loved ones. That's a very basic part of this that I think has gotten missed. So the stonewalling on the part of the Pentagon is unprecedented. We've never seen anything like it. It's never been harder for the defense community and the journalistic core that covers the Pentagon to actually get good information. And again, it's bad for democracy. It's bad for our troops. And it's also happening with the Secretary of Defense, who has not been Senate confirmed. We've got an acting secretary there in Shanahan who hasn't been confirmed by the Senate. Prior to that, it was also somewhat the policy of General Mattis. But Mattis is gone, in part because of the way that the White House was running the Pentagon. They weren't listening to him. They weren't listening to other military advisors. So I think there's a real disconnect here that damages our national security. It damages the transparency of our press coverage. And it damages, in many ways, our national security and our troops.
How much does this differ from the Clinton years or the Bush years or the Obama years? Just how limited is the access to information versus prior administrations?
It's almost totally limited. I mean, to underscore how bad it is, okay, not only have they not done any press briefings, they threw out Gene Simmons from KISS a couple weeks ago, okay?
Right,
the only
right.
person who stood at the Pentagon and actually spoken to the public was Gene Simmons from KISS. Now, he's doing some great work for veterans. He told his family story about, you know, escaping the Holocaust. That's great. But it's not about Gene Simmons. It's about the fact that the Pentagon is not only not putting up the Secretary of Defense, they're not putting up public affairs officials. They're putting up Gene Simmons. A few months before, they had the actor Gerard Butler. So it's almost become a joke. And what it really is an insult. It's an insult to the American people. And I think everybody should be outraged. If you're not outraged about this, you're not paying attention. And I think it's easy to get lost because there's so many other chaotic stories happening in the news. But this one is different in part, Brian, because it's the highest stakes possible. We're talking about potential war with Iran. We're talking about picking fights with countries with nukes. These are higher stakes.
The thing about the death of the briefing is that because they're not happening, it's not visible, it's easy not to notice the lack of a briefing when they're not happening. And yet it's the kind of thing that used to be normal, used to be common, used to be almost daily at the White House, the Pentagon, and other agencies. So we have lost something real, even though it's not always obvious to the public because it's not visible. You know, that's the advantage the administration has. They're not doing these things on camera, so we don't see them.
Right. I mean, think back to the Gulf War where you had Schwarzkopf and Powell doing these briefings, you know, with slideshows talking about where bombings were happening and what buildings they had blown up. There was a degree of transparency that was expected in the modern age, expected with the modern media coverage. And now they've completely stonewalled the likes of which we've never seen in America. This is what you see from despotic countries. And that, again, it undermines not just the trust with the political leadership, it undermines the public's trust with our military. And this is another example of how they continue to politicize the military. And again, there's another point here, Brian, that I think is worth considering. The Pentagon Press Corps is a very dedicated group of people who care very deeply about getting to the truth. They're some of the finest journalists our country has. And when the president says that the press is the enemy of the people, he's also talking about veterans who are also journalists. There are people like Marines, like James LaPorta at Newsweek, who served in the Marine Corps and is now a journalist. They consider that an extension of their public service. They served in the Marine Corps. Now they want to serve as journalists and continue to serve the American people. And when the president says the press is the enemy of the people, he's talking about them. And I think that's a slap in the face to all Americans, to journalists, and to veterans. And I don't think he's thought about that part of it.
I don't think he's thought about a lot of the enemy yeah. rhetoric and the consequences. What bothers me sometimes is, you know, there's weather forecasters and meteorologists that are warning people about tornadoes, trying to save lives in the plains this week. And when he tars the entirety of the media as the enemy, he's tarring all those folks, too. Your point about veterans is really well taken. He's tarring members of the military who are reporters all around the world.
Yeah. And I think, you know, there are some folks that rightfully will criticize the military. And I could do, you know, a whole segment on that with you. But I think it's also around Memorial Day a time to appreciate the fact that I think there are some issues where the press has done a good job. And one of them is around Memorial Day, helping people understand Memorial Day, telling the stories of our fallen and trying to really give life, give humanity to the numbers that are often forgotten. One of the hashtags that I've used over the last few years is Forgottistan, because my friends over there feel like they're forgotten. They feel like there isn't media coverage or political attention. You don't really hear the presidential candidates talking much about Afghanistan. So Memorial Day is a time where I think the press has learned. They've gotten to know our community, they tell our stories, and they treat it with responsibility and with dignity and in the way that I think really lets our journalists shine. And they also treat the specifics with sensitivity. There are issues like suicide, where the language the press uses is important. If you're imprecise, you can actually spread contagion. You can encourage people to have symptoms. And being responsible about how you treat delicate issues like suicide is an area where I think the press overall has really, really done a good job and continues to improve.
Let's talk more about that right after a quick break. Let's talk more about strengths and weaknesses of the media when covering military issues. Quick break here on the podcast. Back in just a moment. And we're back now on the Reliable Sources podcast. I'm your host, Brian Stelter, here with a fellow podcaster, Paul Rykoff. He's out with the relatively new Angry Americans podcast. Paul, you've had some great guests in your first weeks doing this. Why did you decide to launch the podcast?
I really felt like podcasting was a place where I could have real discussions. First of all, there's a lot of issues that come from the national security defense community that I think are underreported. But there's also an angry middle in this country, a disconnected middle of independents who are not diehard Democrats and not diehard Republicans. They're the 40% of unaffiliated and independent Americans that often feel underrepresented in the media. They look at MSNBC or Fox or even CNN and they feel like they don't have a home. So I think podcasting was a place to try to give voice to that community and also to focus on issues I care about. And the cool part about podcasting is you don't have commercials for the most part, and you have this long form where you can really have honest conversations. And for me, that's been important. I really get to know my guests. We go pretty deep with Sarah Jessica Parker for over an hour, talking about how she started her business, how she grew up, her favorite car. I ask her what she's angry about, but I also ask her what she's happy about. And she gets into politics. We always talk about politics and understanding that this moment in time is very important and asking people to expand upon that. So this week I've got celebrity chef Tom Colicchio. He talks about serving people at 9/11 after the towers went down. He was delivering rescue meals to people down there and how that shaped his view of the world and his business. So it's a real opportunity, to go deeper. But I've also frankly realized the limitations of podcasting. It's still sort of an elitist thing. So what I also do is put every podcast up on YouTube. We put it out everywhere we possibly can to try to make it available to everybody, no matter what kind of phone you're on or no matter where you are. So in some ways, it's almost like the new public media. And I think that's an exciting landscape to be able to work in.
Yeah, it's an interesting point. It is kind of the new public media. And some of the Democrat candidates are doing a good job taking advantage of that. Not so much, interestingly, President Trump. We were talking before the break about Memorial Day weekend and coverage of military issues. When you think about the first couple of years of the Trump administration, Trump was once surrounded by military officials, John Kelly, Jim Mattis, H.R. McMaster. How do you think his relationship with the military has changed since those departures?
It's eroded almost completely. Mm-hmm. It's falling fast. I mean, maybe let me just break it down for you. We went from having General Mattis as the Secretary of Defense, who in many ways is the most revered combat leader of our generation. In the Marine Corps, they call him Saint Mattis. There are little shrines to Mattis in combat units. He is beloved by everybody from the highest ranks to the lowest ranks. And now we've got a guy in Shanahan who's never served in the military and was a Boeing executive. You know, their profiles couldn't be more different. And by the way, Shanahan also hasn't been Senate approved yet. So the difference between those two types of people, I think, reflect what's happened over the course of this administration. He used to be surrounded by my generals. Well, now he's surrounded by his political people. And they tend to be people who haven't served in the uniform. We know that folks like General Kelly are gone. We know that H.R. McMaster's is gone. We know that Flynn may be going to jail. So these folks are not always the best representatives of the military. But I think the cleavage that now exists between those individuals and also between him and the broader military that feels like they're being politicized, not just on issues like Iran, but on issues like the 4th of July parade or the Khan family or the attacks on John McCain or sending troops to the border for something that doesn't seem to be a national security priority. I think this is a very, very big issue that is underreported. The division that is existing between Trump and the military is significant and it's growing. And that should concern all Americans, because when the president starts giving orders that the military doesn't follow, you may like that on some level, but think about the extreme cases where you won't like it. That's a very dangerous place for America to be.
Yeah, no, it's disturbing. And recently, the attention around Iran and the concerns about an escalation involving Iran. How would you grade the media's coverage of this? There was some concern, especially on the left, about the press, beating the war drums. That's usually the cliche that's used in these circumstances, that the press was beating the war drums. Did you hear or see some of that happening?
You know, like everything else, Brian, it's a mixed bag. But I think, right? There really is. It depends on what you're watching or what you're listening to. You might get a 1-minute sensationalized hit, or you might get a 15-minute long-form deep dive with a foreign policy expert. I think the responsibility for the press right now is to learn the mistakes of Iraq, and ask the hard questions, and also learn the mistakes of Afghanistan, which is don't forget about it. Remember that it's still there. So if something happens with the Mueller report, or someone resigns the administration, or some other crazy news story comes out, remember that we've still got troops in harm's way, and we've still got diplomats that are working with places like Iran. So it's an example of where the stakes couldn't possibly be higher. I do think there's an opportunity to recognize that maybe 10 years ago, 5 years ago, on TV, you had a lot of retired generals. You had a lot of folks like me and experts in the military. Now you've got almost entirely retired lawyers. So it's been like a total recasting of the folks that are on your screens every single day. And when Iran comes back in the news, we're back on the screens. But after Memorial Day passes and something else happens in the Mueller report, that's going to be a real test to see if the media can keep their eye on the ball and understand that this literally could mean a global conflict with a country that might have nukes. I mean, the stakes are much bigger than almost anything else, and it's going to be a real test of the focus and, I think, fortitude of the media.
When you size up the national news media and the day-to-day decisions about what to cover and what to emphasize, do you see veterans issues and military matters being enough of that mix, being enough of that daily news diet?
I think it's become a good mix, and I think it's important to separate the two. There are veterans issues, and then there are foreign policy and war issues. So if I talk about veterans issues, I'm talking about covering the VA, the Department of Veterans Affairs, or talking about homelessness, or talking about mental health. Then there's another side of things, which is a very different type of coverage, which is nukes and warships and overseas stuff. That's very, very different. I think overall, maybe what I'm most encouraged about is many veterans have chosen to become journalists. There's a generation of post 9/11 veterans that we know now are running for Congress. There are three that are running for president now. But there are also folks that are going to the Washington Post, that are going to the New York Times, that are coming to CNN, and they really want to consider that an extension of their service. So if you think about who can maybe hold our government most accountable, it could be a veteran. There's folks like Joey Galloway, the legendary reporter who was in Vietnam and for many years, you know, covered these issues. Now you've got somebody like CJ Shivers at the New York Times, who's a former Marine himself, and I think that helps helps shape his understanding of the military, and it makes his pencil or his pen that much sharper, and he can do that much more of a true service to our public.
Hmm. Who else should people look up, or what other journalists should they follow?
You know, I think Leo Shane's been a great reporter from the Military Times. It's a thankless job to cover the intricacies of the VA, but I think Leo Shane has done a fantastic job. I think your Barbara Starr has been excellent over the years, and I think there are more high-profile people like Martha Raddatz who've been able to get into it and really tell those stories. But I'm really excited about the local journalists as well. That's another side of this. You've got papers in Phoenix and in San Diego and in Florida that are digging into these issues from a local standpoint. So if you look at, for example, in San Diego, where, you know, Marines had contaminated drinking water. These are the types of issues where local reporting is really important, because it's not just a national security issue, it's a local issue, because they've got a military base within their readership. So I'm excited about that landscape, and I think it's another reason why those local independent journalists must be supported, must be protected on everything from buying their paper to ensuring the president doesn't call them enemies of the state.
Right. Amen to that. Paul Rykoff, thanks so much for joining me. Great talking with you.
Thank you, Brian. Really appreciate it.
When you work next level. And when you play next level. And when it's time to sleep, Sleep Number smart beds are designed to embrace your uniqueness, providing you with high-quality sleep every night. Sleep next level. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, the Queen Sleep Number C4 smart bed is only $1,599. Save $300 for a limited time, only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com. Prices higher in Alaska and Hawaii. Quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. So you can choose what's right for you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature. Quiets their snores. Sleep Number does that. Sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on Sleep Number limited edition smart beds for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.